This is D.
Coleacovo, he scores!
To D.
Toronto scores!
With Coleacovo.
Coleacovo, what a hit!
And Corrado.
Frankie Corrado!
Oh, wow, the old introduction that does not feature yours truly, Aaron Koronik. That's very hurtful, Luca, who's
God
in for 20
brain.
Fingers. Yeah, exactly.
No, Alex
Carlo.
Quote.
Yes. Hold on, Frank. Hold on. We're going to bring it in just a second. Koronik, Coleacovo, Frankie Corrado will join us. But, Carlo, yesterday I received a text message from a 437 area code. And immediately I thought it was one of those scammers trying to get my banking information. Maybe one of those air duct cleaning degenerates. But no, it's actually the first three digits of the phone number of Frankie Corrado, a man who I hold in high esteem, a man I enjoy texting and talking with. But man, a 437 number, does he even get any reception? I don't know. Let's find out. Frankie, are you there?
Buddy, you're such a goon, man. 437 is the new area code in Toronto.
Is that a Qatar number? Like, I've never seen 437 before.
437.
You guys didn't have a problem when I had a Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania number, but now I have a local number, and it's like it's a disaster. Give me
so
a
make, you make a good point.
437, the new like area code for Toronto.
Apparently it is. I was on the phone with the Bell representative who was helping me out, and I said, "Can I please have a 416 number?" And there was none available. No 416.
How is that possible? How are there no 416 numbers or 647 numbers available?
I think
they were lying to you.
I didn't even think to ask about 647. I just said whatever you got. Just if it's not 416, give me whatever you got.
If anybody's listening and can text into the show, why 437 was chosen as the new area code? Like, is it symbolic? Is there a reason behind it? Does it represent something? It just, to me, when I see 437, I think somewhere in the States or somewhere in Europe. Like, I think scam
437.
I think it looks crisp. I think it looks slick. I think it rolls off the tongue really nice. I think it's a fantastic area code. I think more people are going to be jumping on the 437 bandwagon very soon.
Well, text us 105050 your thoughts on 437 area codes, unless you have a 437 number. We don't want your texts.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. We love the 437ers. This is the new divide in the city of Toronto. You have the 647s and the 416s. They stick together. We're
and
a long time. Oh, yeah, of course. 905 we respect immensely. But 437s, you guys are on an island. You are a new kind of invader to our city, and I don't really know how I feel about it. But you've got some good 437 comrades, Frank, our boy Jared Bell, a 437.
That's right.
Anybody else?
No one that I could think of off the top of my head. I don't really know anyone's phone number.
That's a good point, too. No one knows anyone's phone number. It's just saved.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, the only number I know off by heart is my parents' home number. I don't even know my wife's home number. I don't know my brother's home number. I don't know anybody in my family's numbers off by heart. I don't know. Is that good or bad?
Well,
that I don't know anybody.
I think they're
saved
in
my phone. My wife's saved in my phone is Gina. I don't never stare at her number. Never.
You know what happened to us one time? We were in an Uber downtown, and I think it was she forgot her phone in the Uber. So I went back on the app, and I'm trying to track down this Uber so I can get her phone because who knows where this thing is going to end up at some point, right? And so as I'm, like, running for the Uber, I realize I'm, like, 3 or 4 blocks away from where I left my wife. She's going to have no idea where I was. But she knew my number. She asked the stranger, "Hey, can I borrow your phone? I need to call my husband." She knew my number, and then we met up, like, 10 minutes later, and I had retrieved the phone. So it's good. Like, it's good to know at least your wife's number.
Yeah, and I guess you could also just find your Instagram or your TikTok or your Twitter and send a message there, too. There's so many ways.
Oh, if you don't have your phone.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying if Frankie's wife didn't know his number, but she knows his Instagram handle, obviously, so she could reach out that way.
So I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, when you have that, like, panic mode of, like, going to look for your wallet and you can't find it, and you're like, oh my god, did I lose it and stuff like that, and sometimes because I wear hoodies, I put it in my hoodie pocket, and then when I put my jacket on and put my jacket look through in my pocket, it's not there.
It's
like
the worst
it's in my
feeling.
Hoodie
oh no
But I was thinking about this the other day. What would be worse to lose? Would it be your wallet or your phone?
That's a tough one, man. I'm willing to say it's your phone.
It's my phone. My phone is like literally has phone. My whole life in it.
Well, and it also depends on your proficiency with regarding backing up your phone. Like,
yeah,
my guess, Carlo,
good.
you have no backups going on.
Zero backup.
Like, if you lose your phone, you're done. You have no.
I don't even
number.
Have AirCloud on.
Oh,
iCloud.
Dude. You got to figure that out. And this is a lesson for everybody out there. Like, especially for me. Like, back when I was a producer, obviously, the kind of lifeblood is people's phone numbers. So you reach out to guests, and then my phone kind of malfunctioned and it just stopped working. It basically bricked, and I lost everything. I had no numbers. Everything that I accumulated over the years was gone. And I remember calling 20 Fingers, our technical producer. I'm like, do you still have all of our information?
Oh,
and fortunately, he did. He's someone who is very proficient in that matter. By the way, with regards to phone numbers, you notice, and what can I give it away? The last four digits of my phone number, 2547 AK47. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that.
You purposely had that done?
Wow.
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago, but yeah, I did.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
Thank you, Frankie.
Cool.
Are you being sarcastic, Frankie? I don't know if I can't tell.
You'll never know.
Well done. All right, Frankie Corrado, our guest. That's Cole Iacovo. I'm Korolnik. This is D2D here on First Up. Matinees in the NHL, Frank. Were you a fan? Carlo loved them. Did you like them as well?
I like that kind of game. I like that early game because you get up, you have your one meal in the morning, you go play, and you don't think about anything. It's one of those games where it's like a 7 o'clock game. You can kind of do your morning skate. The day kind of drags on. This one, you just go, you play, and you still have some day afterwards. It's nice to have a life outside of hockey. I think that's what people forget. Like, on a game day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, the whole day revolves around that game. When you have the matinee, let's say you have a 2 o'clock game, you're out of there by 5, 5:30, you're like, wow, I can, like, go for dinner, I can watch TV. Like, there's so many things I can do. I can actually have a life. I like those games.
I love it, man. You get up, you eat, you play, and you enjoy the rest of your day. I know you did the game the other night in Jersey where the Maple Leafs stopped the 13-game winning streak, the New Jersey Devils. We saw a great game by Matt Murray. We saw the defense lose another player, and you had players like Giordano and Hall step up and play some great games, including Sandin and Liljegren. And you saw the ice get littered with a bunch of beer cans. Have you ever been part of a scene like that in your career? I mean, you played in Europe. You played in the KHL. I was explaining the other day how, you know, there was some scenes in Europe where, you know, when the fans whistle, that's them booing. They would throw coins on the ice. Like pennies and stuff. You remember that stuff. You've been part of that stuff.
You know what? So the year that I was in Sweden, the attendance was a little thinner because of COVID. Like, we weren't completely restricted, but I think we were at least 1,000 fans, maybe a little less for most of the season, which kind of sucked. But I never experienced anything like hard items getting thrown onto the ice. The only thing that I've experienced is the teddy bear toss in the American Hockey League. Where around Christmas time, you score a goal, the home team scores a goal, it's the first goal, and then every single fan in the building throws a stuffed teddy bear on the ice. And I actually played in Hershey, which is like the most famous one, because they'll get like, I don't know, man, upwards of 10,000 teddy bears thrown on the ice, and like you go to the room and they flood, and it's a whole ordeal.
There is a big bonus for the player that scored the goal too every year.
I think everyone puts money on the board for that guy, right? To just because you don't want it to drag on into the third period, because what happens is if no one scored, there's like a TV timeout in the third period where the PA announcer is going to come on and say, "All right, everyone, throw your teddy bears on the ice now," and it's it sucks. But I was thinking about this too, right? These are like full beer cans being thrown onto the ice.
It's assault,
I don't care. You can call the Leafs soft for leaving the bench. If you get hit with one of those things, it's gonna hurt and it's gonna catch you by surprise. Like I don't have an issue with them leaving the ice. That was crazy. The other thing that's crazy is, what do you think the cost of all the beer that was thrown onto the ice? Like, what are we talking about? A couple thousand bucks at least.
They're at least $10 beers, sure. For sure.
Dude, you know, they were 11:50. 11:50.
11:50 beers. Wow.
Yeah.
Steel.
Crazy inflation.
Compared to Scotiabank Arena.
You know what was
like
the
free.
Best in those teddy bear tosses? When you'd actually see like a life-size teddy bear get thrown onto the ice, and you're thinking to yourself, how the hell did somebody drag in a life-size teddy bear to the
no,
rink?
No kidding. And there's always some goon in Hershey that comes right up to the bench and leans over the bench and just hammers one off your head. And you look back and you're like, was that really necessary, Gary? Thanks.
Well, it's funny we talk about this because I just remember it, and I'm not sure if I should share this on radio, but I am. When I played in Erie and we went on our championship run in 2003, we had a player on our team named Corey Pecker. Okay, unbelievable junior player. This guy had scored 50, 60 goals a couple times in his career. Obviously, you know what the word Pecker refers to.
No, what is it?
And fans in Erie, some fan one day he scored a goal and threw a sex object on the ice. And it became the thing to do. Our whole playoff run, every time his name was announced with a goal or an assist, fans would throw their sex objects on the ice.
Come on.
And you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Dude, we were on the Jay Leno show.
No way.
We had a Brad Boys on our team, and they Boys, Pecker, you know.
No
it's just,
way.
It's just, and the whole sex object thing was a big story of our playoff run.
That store, like whatever sex object store, that local one in town, must
have been
doing so much business that year, making an absolute killing. They couldn't keep items in stock.
And look, they weren't like littered on the ice, but you'd see like two, three, sometimes four of them on the ice. It was literally comical.
The owners of the sex store, every time that Pecker got a point, just go crazy. They're popping bottles. They're like, big day at the store tomorrow.
It was so to the point where like, you know, the arena guys collect them and stuff like that, and somebody gathered them all, and they were wrapped around a certain pole in our locker room area.
Oh, so you guys took them in and...
Dude, it was a rallying thing for us. It was like what the city embraces, like Corey Pecker, man. They love this guy. This guy was a legend in Erie.
That's an amazing story. Corey
Pecker.
That's
crazy. It made its way into your locker room.
Yeah.
I can only imagine some of the jokes that were being made back in those days in Erie, Pennsylvania. Again, this is D2D. Frankie Corrado is our guest. I'm just seeing this come across my Twitter timeline. MBS, who is the, Sultan of Saudi Arabia, the king, has announced that each team member of the Saudi Arabian soccer team that just beat Argentina a couple days ago will get a Rolls-Royce Phantom.
What?
Now, is the car in Entourage. If you remember, Vinny Chase buys in like season two, and they return it a couple days later after Turtle did some work in there. I'm looking on Google. Apparently, this car retails for 560 grand Canadian.
Wow.
So,
and each player is getting one of them?
Each player gets a Rolls-Royce Phantom for beating Argentina. Not bad.
Carlo, when you played in Erie, would you guys ever get bonuses if you guys had a really good stretch of games or weekends?
No, unfortunately, we didn't.
They just got the sex objects.
Yeah. Just the sex objects.
That's all they got.
Like, we would get, because we made $50 a week, right? And every once in a while, if we had a really good weekend or a really good stretch, our owner would walk in the room. He goes, double pay for everybody this week. And we go, $100 this week.
Seriously?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Dude, I remember, like, I was getting $90 every 2 weeks in Erie. And, like, dude, $90 was like living off of a $1,000 salary a month. How cheap you could buy food for back in Erie.
Oh, for sure.
Like, Country Fair was like the sub place. Like, you know, like the what do you call it? The 7-Eleven here. It was Country Fair. And, dude, they had the best hot tables there with subs and hot. Dude, if you go in there, you spend like $5-6 and you get yourself a full meal. It was unbelievable.
Oh, that just doesn't exist anymore in this day and age. Everything is like, you roll into 7-Eleven, it's like $50.
$15 for a sub.
What's happened to our world? Terrible.
Can't even get. I went to Swiss Chalet yesterday, Frank. I tried to get a salad with my chicken, and they said, "Sorry, we don't have any salad."
They don't have salad.
Restaurants don't have salad, man. There's a shortage.
Of what? Romaine? I bought romaine.
No, salad. At just salad. Restaurant just salad. Salad.
You say you bought it at Walmart?
Yeah, because I live right next to a Walmart, so if I'm ever in a pinch. Like, there's a big grocery section there. If I need a couple things, I'll just run over there really quick. It's like I live, like, right next to it.
The 437 number is starting to make some sense here.
Yeah. Shopping at Walmart for groceries.
Former NHLer Frank Corrado goes to Walmart. Yeah, no disrespect to Walmart. Listen, quality establishment, one of the biggest companies in the world.
Hey, man, I agree. And they have some good stuff.
You know what?
There,
Here's the thing, Carlo.
Honest to God, they have some really, really good stuff there for really good prices. They do. Never stop shopping at my local Longo's.
Of course not. Frankie spent all his money on his new irons. I don't know if you know this, but like, you know, he had to take out a second mortgage. His wife has to work some extra hours to help pay for Frankie's new Titleist irons.
So I posted a video yesterday, or reposted a video on my Instagram story, and I'm pretty sure you guys saw it. And one of these golfer Instagram pages posted a video of a guy, and the caption is, "Just got the new net." So he got a new golfing net. He set it up on a tee in his living room, and he literally skied it.
Yeah.
This thing was
right
like
over.
Two feet. The net was 2 feet in front of him. He skied it and put a hole in his ceiling
but
with the ball.
Did you see how high he teed it up? Like, this guy
That's
was
what
such
I mean.
A clown. He teed it up 3 inches off the ground, and he had a 5-wood. And, of course, he skied it right into the ceiling. That's one of those ones where his wife comes marching into that room and yard sales that net.
That net
is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Frankie, with your new Titleist irons, driver Woods, I mean, the veterinarian of Callan Woods will be going very low this upcoming season. But you got to
go ahead, AK.
No, you have something you want to add?
Well, yeah, no, I was going to go back to something with hockey, but finish with your golf thing.
Well, that's all we got. And also, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for Frank.
Wait,
it's been
sec.
A blast, though.
One
okay.
sec. I notice he's wearing a Peloton shirt. Are you keeping yourself in shape so that the next injury the Maple Leafs have, they give you a call on defense?
I'm keeping myself in shape for my own well-being, not necessarily to play hockey. I played an alumni game on Sunday up in Sudbury, and still have it, but definitely sore after the game.
Dude, just tell yourself right now, in the next year, you're going to put on 20 pounds.
That's not true. That's not how Frank rules,
dude.
There's no chance.
Putting on 20
it's
going to
happen.
In 1 year, Arad, mark this date. Mark this date. We will have another D2D on this date next year, and we will find out if I put on 20 pounds. I guarantee you I will not.
20 pounds, buddy.
Listen, the key to keeping the weight off, do your grocery shopping at Walmart. All right, thank you, Frankie.
See you guys.
That's Frankie Corrado. This is D2D here on TSN
1050. So we've buried the lead because, I mean, I can't believe it's 8:49 already and we entered the 8 o'clock hour, but I'm looking at the TV and the 8 o'clock World Cup game just started. And it's
what's going on?
Versus Qatar. And I'll tell you what the score is when we come back after break.